I'm Liz Larson.
And I'm Bill McKenna.
And together, we created the Cogno Movement System. And we'd like to welcome you to the New Life Perspectives Radio Show,
where we're going to be sharing with you tools, tips, and ideas that are going to change your life.
Hello, hello in UK Health Radio Land. I'm Liz Larson, and I'm here with my friend,
Bill McKenna.
Hey, Bill McKenna. And we are the hosts of the New Life Perspectives Radio Show here on the UK Health Radio Network. And we're also the team that happened to create the Cogno Movement System. Well, today we're here with one of our really dear friends. It's so exciting when she comes on the show. It's Cynthia Sue Larson. Now, you might know her best from her conversations about the Mandela effect and reality shifting. In fact, Cynthia is a prolific author, and she has many books on the subject of reality shifting. Her website is realityshifters.com. Is that right, Cynthia?
That's right. Yes, it is.
What else would you like people to know about you, Cynthia, before we get started?
Well, I'm also affiliated with a group. It's a nonprofit organization, a 501c3 called the International Mandela Effect Conference. And that has a website, which is imec.world. So that's the big thing, because we're planning to get an in-person event happening in the next month or so.
And if people want to find your books, they can go to realityshifters.com and also anywhere on Amazon. Is that correct?
That's right. Yes.
Yeah. So there's a reason we're kind of front loading the show with this today. We are going to talk about all things reality shifting, Mandela affecting, and other weird stuff. But we're not going to go too deeply into what these things are specifically. So we have a couple of previous interviews with Cynthia Sue Larson here on the UK Health Radio Network. Just go back, search her name, and you'll find her. And you can find Cynthia on YouTube as well, with all kinds of information about Mandela effect and reality shifting. And on our YouTube channel, cognomovement.com, you can also find more information about this. So we want to just dig right in.
Now, can I mention one thing real quick? You know, a lot of these things, you know, may seem kind of woo-woo for a lot of you, but Cynthia is a physicist, a PhD.
It's true.
And so when she's talking about these things, she's able to actually bridge the gap with physics and how it all works. It's amazing. So anyway, a little bit about your background on that, Cynthia.
Okay. Actually, I've got a bachelor's degree in physics. That's my bachelor's degree, and that's UC Berkeley. But I have stayed active in the field, and I've stayed in touch with some of the professors I studied with, and I've been involved with running conferences on the Foundations of Mind. That's the name of the organization that I'm one of the managing directors for. And we have run conferences at UC Berkeley and in San Francisco with some of the hippies who saved physics. And I've co-authored papers with other physicists in the areas of consciousness. I've got a master's degree in information systems. So I do have some computing experience with information technology. And my doctorate, it's Doctor of Divinity. So I just want to be clear that I've got a very strong background in science, yes. But I temper it with spirituality as well. And we've got a business element as well.
So what is the bridge, Cynthia, between science and the aspects of this phenomenon, Mandela effect and reality shifting? What's the bridge between the two? How do they come together, at least for you?
For me, that part, if I want to make it technical and scientific, we are starting there. I'd love to mention a couple of foundational pieces of strong evidence to suggest that the Mandela effect and reality shifts are quite real. And in 2019, there was some research done showing clearly that two observers can be at the same place and same time, noticing different events. This was first proposed by the physicist Eugene Wigner, and he was suggesting the idea of running an experiment that had never been run until the results were published in 2019. And absolutely, it was proven in an experimental setting that indeed two observational devices were at the same place and same time observing completely different observations. That was exactly predicted by Eugene Wigner, because that's part of the weird, wacky, wonderful way of quantum physics. The other powerful scientific advance that came forward seems to me to be worth mentioning, and it's from psychology, which some people say is a soft science. And the University of Chicago researchers there, Bainbridge and Prasad, these two researchers, were able to find several different strong cases for people consistently, collectively remembering things differently for things like the Fruit of the Loom logo, which, as most of us remember, a bunch of fruit sitting in what? A cornucopia, right? But they were doing experiments to show, would people select the fruit on the plate, the fruit without anything, or the fruit in a basket, the cornucopia? People consistently kept choosing the fruit in the basket, the cornucopia, even though it's never been that way for that logo.
So I have something about that.
Okay.
Years ago, when I was much, much younger, a different life, I worked as a commercial cake decorator. And around Thanksgiving time, we would need to do a cornucopia with fruit coming out of it. But I could never remember what it looked like. So we would go get the Fruit of the Loom package at Thanksgiving to remember what that looked like.
Oh my gosh.
I know. Somebody was talking about that recently. I'm like, that's not even possible. Because every year I had to do it. I just couldn't. It has a weird, funny little shape. And that image was exactly the kind of image that we wanted to recreate. And we would figure pipe, which is making it in 3D on top of the cake. But it kind of has a funny little turn to make the cornucopia.
A little bit tricky. Yeah.
So I needed to look at it. And that is what everybody knows, that was the one thing you could rely on that had a cornucopia.
So Liz, what year was that, do you think, most recently that you... This is so interesting.
It's many years ago. It would have been probably 1990. Let's see. I was a cake decorator from I was 19.
Uh-huh.
And this would have been through... I would have been 22, 23.
Right.
So 1989, 1990, 91, 90, you know, like in there.
But I love hearing this example, because then you know for sure that's what you were doing. This is not a fabricated memory. It's not some confusion or conflation or these misremembering. That doesn't make any sense.
No, because we didn't have a cell phone to look it up.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I think there might have been a computer in the bakery, but it wasn't that kind of a thing that you'd have to go find an image.
Right.
And, you know, I'm like, oh, dang it, I don't remember how to. So I would go, I knew where the underwear were, I could find that.
Sure.
Isn't that interesting?
I love it. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I've heard from the company, Fruit of the Loom, fairly recently when I was tweeting something about, the Mandela effect. And they responded to us and basically... You know, they love the attention, you know, because it's good publicity. All publicity is good publicity. But they can't really, they're funny about it. They say we can't confirm or deny, you know, but basically they don't have any evidence to show that logo ever looked the way you and I both remember.
So for everybody listening, what we're really talking about is, we call it timeline shifting. Cynthia calls it reality shifting. Some people call it a Mandela effect, and they're kind of a similar name for similar types of things. It's where you've experienced one thing, and then the next thing you know, somebody says, no, it was never that way at all. But it's not just one person, it's groups of people. So, Bill, you were saying earlier that you had an experience like this with a place that you know really, really well, right?
Yeah. You know, one of my favorite places is Avalon, California. It's a little island, Catalina Island, off the coast of Southern California. I used to live there for 9 months a year, and it's 1 square mile. That's the town, 1 square mile. So you can imagine, you know, you get to know it really well. And I've been going there since, you know, I was probably around 4 years old or so. And you know, always gone, you know, multiple times a year, you know. And like I say, some of the times, you know, I was living there for several months a year. Anyway, I went back this, you know, a few weeks ago, and there's like built-in kind of brick benches, and they've been there forever. You know, I think they're probably built in the 1930s, something like that, maybe before. But they, you know, it's obviously it's old, you know, and I got off the boat, and I'm walking. I'm like, what the heck? The entire structure had changed. I was like, whoa, wait, wait, whoa, 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 whoa. Hey, now, you made beautiful seating, beautiful. I'm not gonna disagree with the design, but it wasn't like that. And that was really funny. But I see these things somewhat regularly, changes, and I always find them shocking. Buildings, signs, you know, a building doesn't come up in a day, right? You know, a lot of work to make a building. And all of a sudden, pop, you know, it goes from like, you know, one story house to, you know, two stories, you know, and there's a balcony, you know, and you're like, wait, well, what just happened?
So what was the before and the after in Avalon? What did it used to be like? And then
so there was no seating in one area, and then it turned into like a what I would call some semicircles of seating that happened, and also other areas. There was a seating area that was like a wall seating that literally did not exist. And clearly,
they look old now, Bill. They're not new, right? So I mean, that's
not new. Did they just change? That's the thing that blows the mind is that, you know, you go, oh, wait a second, did they build that? And you go over and look at it, and clearly, it's been there forever. Yeah, so it's, you know, those things. It's very shocking when it happens. By the way, you know, I'm a boy, so, you know, Fruit of the Loom, that's what the boys wear, right? It was always that cornucopia, you know.
I remember that too.
It was all, yeah. I mean, you know, when it wasn't, when it turned into not, I was like, oh, come on now. Come on now. That ain't true, you know. Every boy had T-shirts and underwear for the loom. Every boy did. So,
my question is, Cynthia, was it really the cornucopia? There's some big agenda to make us think we're crazy. Is that what it is, or is it something else? What is happening?
Okay. Well, I don't think there's some secret hidden agenda trying to make us all feel crazy. And too many things are changing anyway. I mean, who on earth would be doing so many of these? So it seems like what's going on is that reality has a much more dreamlike quality to it. And that's what seems to be going on, that our true nature is really consciousness. It's what the great spiritual traditions have been talking and teaching about for millennia. And they also sometimes are the cultures and the teachings that tell us that we go through these huge cycles like the Yuga or the Mayan calendar. And when certain timelines come together at the epical moments, there's sort of a nodal point and there can be a big change. Clearly, it seems like people are noticing time is speeding up. More of these things are happening. So it looks like we're really in the thick of one right now. And that's why it matters for people who never had any interest in meditation or anything like that, to start paying attention to mindfulness, to recognize that each of us creates a ripple effect, and that what we think and what we're putting out there in terms of our energy and our thoughts absolutely is influencing the reality that we experience.
I think for a lot of us who are consistently working in energy, like Bill and I and you do, for some of us, this has happened to us our whole lives. I know that's true for me, and I know you've shared a lot of that too, Cynthia.
Yes.
But for other people where they're just starting to experience it, they might actually feel like they're losing their mind. And in all seriousness, feel like, am I working in, you know, do I have dementia? Is there something wrong with my brain? You know, so many people are experiencing just little things like, I know I put that there and now it's just gone. Right. Or, you know, I know I put that there and it's over there. I was on that airplane going out to Philadelphia last week, and I very specifically packed reading glasses. And so I reach in to get the reading glasses out, and one of the lenses has popped out. I'm like, oh, dang it. Okay, well, I don't have any reading glasses. So later on, a couple days later, I'm unpacking my the purse and then kind of the travel bag to find something else that I need. And there are those same glasses with the lens intact.
Nice.
You know, so for some people, little things like this are happening, and I think they might be actually questioning their sanity. So what do you have for them? What do you have to make them, I don't know if it makes them feel better or maybe understand?
Well, I think starting by recognizing that these things are normal, that they've been going on for a long time, can be quite helpful. And what I mean by a long time is that there's documentation going back to the early 1900s and late 1800s, Mary Rose Barrington was tracking these things. She called it just one of those things where objects would appear, disappear. She called them walkabouts, and she has certain names for them. And she's written books and articles about it. She's no longer with us, but I want to definitely reference her work because I think that was instrumental in, at least in England and the United Kingdom, to let people know this is a normal phenomenon. Naturally, there have been stories in folklore traditions for generations, you know, in the Celtic and the Nordic traditions about elves that would do things like take things away and bring them back and that sort of thing. So there's a lot of fanciful explanations for what could be happening. I've been tracking them since the 1990s, showing that this is a worldwide phenomenon. And so what I would tell people is, usually just pay attention to what's happening, and it's usually not too upsetting or too horribly dangerous when these things go missing or show up or transform in some way. That's what I've been calling reality shifts. So I like people to pay attention to what they're thinking and what they're feeling when these things occurred. Personally, I noticed that my best reality shifts, the ones I like the best, happen when I'm feeling expansive and loving and grounded, and a little bit detached from any kind of outcome. It seems like when I'm in that state, then I've had a flat tire instantly fixed on my car, which makes no sense that that could even happen. A silk curtain that I'd inadvertently shrunk by washing it in too hot water, which I shouldn't have done. And then some 20 years later, it just instantly is the correct size again. that's interesting. So, but this comes from being in that relaxed, peaceful, kind of like, it's all cool state of mind, you know. The opposite sorts of things happen to me where I lose things. They just go missing and I really need them, or they break and that kind of thing. If I'm high energy, like supercharged up, upset about something, and ungrounded, that's a recipe for disaster. So I just like people to start by noticing, what's your energy state? Pay attention to it. And also your frame of mind. And these are things we have a lot that we can do with. We're not stuck. So it's good for people to notice how are you feeling when these things happen? And probably if you're feeling high energized, a lot of emotional energy of any kind, you're much more likely to experience this phenomenon. So if I'd recommend people stay grounded, which means just letting emotions and energy flow through. And you probably talked about grounding on your shows in the past. It's important, very important.
Yeah. All right. This conversation is so fascinating, as it always was is with Cynthia. But we need to take a quick break. So let's hear from the good folks at the UK Health Radio Network. UK Health, take it away.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
And we're back. We're talking with our favorite, Cynthia Sue Larson, about some interesting things like reality shifts, timeline shifts, Mandela effects. And you were talking about, you know, like curtains becoming the same length, the right length again. And I was talking about a glass, glasses having a lens and then not having a lens or vice versa. Bill was talking about Avalon having one kind of seating in the streets and then another kind of seating in the streets. I had one of those too in there. It's baffling. The when it happens, it was in Cefalù, Italy, and I'd been there many times and we were taking people on a tour. We got to the city and I didn't recognize it. And at that time, this was in 2016, I hadn't really met you, Cynthia. I'd read your books though. I just couldn't figure out what happened. And we were there for days, and I kept looking around thinking there is not a thing about this place that I recognize, except for when we got offshore, I recognized the shoreline. It just wasn't the same place. It feels...
It has an old history, right? So it's not like it's not a brand new city that changes constantly.
No, it's thousands, you know, thousands of years old, you know, its origins. So really, really, really weird. But you were talking about in the last segment about people needing to be grounded, needing to notice their energy.
Yes.
So Bill and I, actually, we teach people to change their timeline on purpose, but we kind of use neutrality, getting to that neutral place physically. What do you do, Cynthia, to help people shift their timelines besides being grounded?
Yeah, for me personally, I ever since my Kundalini awakening, I really need to stay grounded. So for me personally, it means being detached. So really not being stuck on any outcome, even if things don't seem to be going the way I think they should, just learning to just roll with it and flow with it. Like, this is all cool, like improv. So it's really important. And if I have time for it, walking barefoot on the grass or the ground is really good. Time in nature is very good. These things are so helpful for me personally. And what I recommend for a lot of people is if they don't have one already and they're going through a Kundalini awakening and they can't get out in nature, they're working or they're indoors, then go ahead and find a grounding stone. That can be quite helpful because they may not have time to learn these techniques like detachment or anything like that. So I just say, okay, get a stone like obsidian or tourmaline. Crystals can be quite helpful. It's not cheating. And then you can learn how to do more things later, but it's a good start. So a lot of people, this whole thing just hits them like a ton of bricks. And so maybe a rock can help.
What happens for you? You said, I got to be really careful, you know, to
oh, yes.
Yes. So why do you got to be careful? Ooh, since this has happened, what happens when you're not careful, meaning not going with the flow? How happens?
All sorts of things. It's kind of like a telekinetic show, but not the good kind. For example, once when I was feeling particularly energized and not grounded, I just walked into my kitchen, and often I would know that I need to ground when I flick on the light and it blew out, just phew. But that wasn't the only thing in that moment. Unfortunately, the dishwasher had been running and it made a horrible noise, like, and it just went completely kaput. And I think 3 devices blew on that one entering into the kitchen that day. So, that's expensive, annoying, and it's just all kinds of trouble. But I've also had, that sort of ungrounded, angry feeling. And I just had a bad thought about a singer that, he struck me as misogynistic. Like, clearly he doesn't like women and the way he's singing it. I just had a thought, like, I just wish he wouldn't say anything. And then the next thing I heard, he'd had a terrible case of laryngitis. I mean, a really bad case. Like he'd lost his voice for weeks, like more than a month. And I thought, okay. I can't think anything bad about people. It's not mine. You know, I'll leave it between them and the creator. And because I just don't want to be doing that kind of bad karma where if I'm, but now I've got a better solution, just really staying grounded. But that was when the Kundalini energy was first flowing through and, certain things were happening. Lots of other things too, but it could be shocking and disturbing. You know, a lot of the stuff that was happening is like what I would hear young children going through, like when they've got, what do you call it? Poltergeist activity. Lots of poltergeist stuff would be happening. Rocks and stones hitting windows when there's no wind outside. So I'm just like a parapsychological disaster zone if I'm energized and ungrounded. It's not pretty. So I make sure that that doesn't happen anymore.
So there's got to be a flip side to that coin.
Yeah.
The flip side to that coin is there's probably times, like all of us, that you're incredibly, right? That was just out of control, what I would call reaction.
Yes.
And then there is the flip side of that, which is, you know, because your martial arts training and stuff, and she's also a black belt, everybody. And you've got focus. So there's got to be times when you're utilizing that type of focus, like I'm doing this now, and this is how it's going to go.
Yes.
And with that, energy, tell us about that.
Okay.
You have to have had experiences of
Thank
that.
Thank you. Thanks, Bill. Of course. Well, I do a lot of one-on-one work with clients for spiritual life coaching, and some of it can be energetic work. And that's where that kind of focus is very helpful, whether it's for emotional healing or that kind of thing. So it's very good in a partnership with another person. And I have seen lots of things be healed, not just people, but things can be healed too. So like the dishwasher at my parents' house, that broke down, and my sister turned to me and said, she looked horrified because like we had all the dishes yet to go for the big holiday meal. And this had happened a few years prior. So she just said, "Can you do that thing you do?" Which cracked me up because I didn't expect that coming from her. Like, really? Oh, this, okay. I just laughed and laughed. I said, "Sure. Oh, let's walk through the steps." So I just described, like, okay, we smelled this terrible smell of like burnt oil. We heard the sound of the clunk, and then this dishwasher didn't start, all that stuff. We're going to disregard that. Okay. I know the smell is still in the air. Ignore it. Okay. I'm just going to open the dishwasher. I'm going to shut it. And now we're just going to feel how much we love this dishwasher, because really it's about focusing with love, getting into that beautiful state of coherence with it, visualizing it's working perfectly, imagining that when I push the button, we're just going to hear it humming along. We're doing all this in our thoughts. And I said, okay, I think we're ready. And I said, it was a good thing we laughed too, because it really cleared the air. That's that perfect. Everything's clear. Everything's grounded. Perfect. So I said, let's do it. So then I pushed the button and it started. But believe me, it wouldn't have done that. And that's not the only thing, you know, various other things, printers and devices, cars, or the starter doesn't work, or it's out of gas. These are all beautiful situations for that kind of focus that you can recognize that no matter what it looks like, you're capable of moving into a reality or a timeline, whatever you want to call it, where everything's just fine, because there can be that adjacent reality. You can, if you can feel it, if you can imagine it, and if you need it, and if you love it, then you're aligned with it, and boom, you know, just bring it in. So I love doing that.
That has got to be just thrilling. Yeah. Just fun. Just like when you do it, you got to be just giggling the entire time after.
Yeah. Oh, yes. And I stay humble because I keep learning along the way, too. Sometimes there was a whole legal situation, and I just pretty much given up on that one. Like, well, that's can't do anything about it. But I hear my intuition, my guides suggesting to tell people, like, don't worry about me. I'll be just fine. I wasn't really feeling it. But when I said it, then I felt it. And I'm not going to go into the details, but that whole legal situation completely changed. I didn't see the evidence until about a couple months later. But then it's like the whole thing blew away, like it never existed at all. Perfect.
That is so nice.
Yes.
It's really true. I think that you can learn to do this and you can practice it. And the truth is the easier you are about it, the less of a big deal I think you make about it, the easier it is that it happens. This week, when I was in Pennsylvania, I was working with a really particularly difficult group of clients. Not that they were difficult, but their circumstances were hard. And I was there to observe and see what could be changed or done with this group. And we had left one set of the clients and we had something amazing happen. And I said to the person that I was there with, these were her clients. And I said, yeah, you know, I really wish I could do more. And I said, I really need a magic wand. And she says, you know, you have a magic wand. She was referring to our work. And I said, yeah, I guess that's true. But, you know, I'd really like another one. And I just said it just like that, just, you know, and I was sort of thinking about, gosh, I wonder what else could happen. What else would be possible here? Right.
Right.
Yeah. Always says, how good can it get? Right.
Yeah, yeah.
It was that kind of a feeling about it. I was just lightly thinking about, man, it would be nice. And the very next set of clients we had, that's exactly what happened. We got another magic wand that absolutely could be a game changer. And it was for that person, that next client. These were children, by the way. And then the next one and the next one. But it almost seemed like just as easy as that. Gosh, I would like magic wand, right? Now, I think if I kept asking for that, I might get attached to the outcome,
mm-hmm.
right? So now I have to stay neutral about it. I'm still in the glow of appreciating that new magic wand. And Bill and I talk about this all the time. In fact, we just filmed an episode called The Joy Preset about how most of us don't know how to enjoy something. You get it has a shelf life of about 40 seconds. You get what you want, and then you're like, okay, next. So we've been practicing keeping ourselves in that glow state of when something great does happen. Kind of sounds like you do the same.
Oh, yes. That, for me, that's nature. That's being in the garden. That's the connection I feel with the trees. And they can help with the weather patterns. I really credit the love that I feel for the redwoods here in the Bay Area for having helped to turn around that 1,000-year drought that we were in. And, you know, to me, that's exactly what happened. And it's all about how good can it get and the partnerships that I'm feeling with, you know, nature, really feeling the gratitude and relaxing, not getting all caught up in the horror cycle, the news cycle, which seems so fear-based.
You were sharing earlier something else that you really love, and that's when extinct animals are then returned. You said there was one in California?
Yeah, off the coast of California, Southern California, there's a tiny little clam that came back after 30,000 years gone. And that just warms my heart when these things return and they were considered extinct, but now they're back. And some people say, well, that was tiny. That's why you didn't notice it. Okay, maybe. They're skeptics, they're cynics. To me, it's like, wait a minute, we've got marine biologists in, you know, by the thousands checking out the ocean waters off the coast of California, but whatever, whatever. Okay. I would then say, what about the giant Galapagos tortoise that showed up? And that had gone extinct also for at least hundreds of years, if not longer. And then it showed up. That thing's gigantic. So these little, you know, excuses of, well, these tiny things, they go missing. No, it's not just that. There's definitely something big happening. And this, these are good pointers for something very positive coming, which I think it's to our advantage to be radical optimists, to keep building that momentum of how good can it get, like you did. Like, I just need a magic wand, but not getting stuck or, you know, addicted to any given outcome, just knowing this is the way nature works and we can work with it. And how good can it get when we do? Let's find out.
Yeah, exponentially, right?
Right.
Okay, so I can't believe it, but we've run up against another time block. And so we need to hear from the good folks at the UK Health Radio Network. And then we'll be right back with Cynthia Sue Larson. So UK Health, take it away.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living. We've been doing this for over 40 years. Every year, more and more people are living satisfying lives completely cruelty-free. Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, and we're back with Cynthia Sue Larson. We're having a fascinating conversation about stuff popping in and out of reality, things becoming extinct, and then returning. So, Cynthia, you said that one of the things that you like to talk about the most is, where is all of this going? We know, yes, everybody can feel it. We're in a massive time of some sort of transition. Where are we going?
Well, this is where it gets good, because if you notice that more and more of us are experiencing this phenomenon, we're experiencing synchronicity, we're getting a little bit more telepathic with one another, all these things are becoming more obvious, then we don't need to just look at the news to see, like, my gosh, it's turning into chaos. We can see, you know, this silver lining that is actually the greater part of it, which is that we are moving into our next great evolution as a species. You know, we really are stepping into and moving into our birthright, which is to become the next level of humans. And it's very normal, very natural. I'm not talking about transhumanism. I mean, just the good aspects of being who we are and being good to one another collectively too, that we see from the Mandela effect this very amazing phenomenon where a whole bunch of people together collectively are remembering something differently. So it's a mismatched memory with what we know to be true, like the fruit of the loom cornucopia. All three of us today agree we've seen that. That's the way it was for us. And then if we can say, okay, this is something that all three of us have noticed, that's changed. That's extraordinary, because instead of it just happening to one of us, where we might question our memory or feel like, well, that's so weird, I don't know what happened here, then we get evidence that we're doing this together. That means we have a collective consciousness that's shared in a, you could call it a reality bubble. In physics, there's that guy that I talked about, Wigner, there's such a thing as a Wigner bubble, which means that in the experiment I described with the two observers noticing two different things, you can have a bubble of reality. That's like how, that for us is saying we can have a golden age that we're coming into that has been predicted for thousands of years. And we have a choice. You can actually choose something that's a lot less fun. And sometimes it might look like it's right here, but you can also know that there is that golden reality also available. This is that point that humanity is reaching. And the way we can access it is by improving who we are on the inside. It is an inside job. It does require taking care of it, like you guys do with cognitive movement. And thank you for that. That's the tool set into this new golden age. It's everything that helps to keep us aligned, informed, aware, and really working together with the connections that we have, which might be different than the connections we had before that. And that might have sounded weird before the last few years, but now I think people understand.
Yeah, I think people are having such extraordinary changes that I think it is important to have people focus on the positive ones as well. And Bill and I have become aware of that. There are things that we could not change for people. We could not help, especially health things recently, that now are absolutely changeable. Right, Bill? We're having that experience.
Yeah. It appears that things that would be seen very fixed, like absolutely no way out, now they're absolutely malleable. Like they can totally change and totally get better. So this is the positive aspect, you know, application of the positive aspect of, you know, what we're talking about. And the scientific validation that this is actually true.
Yes.
That as the observer, we affect reality. And I love the way that you put it, that you have a choice of stepping into the reality, but it's through kind of an unlikely point of view, which I never would have thought before, which was, I have to simply change how I feel and have very clear intention of what I want. Well, so change how you feel. Well, my understanding of this is that if you have a reaction type of feeling, you know, anger, fear, jealousy, shame, guilt, humiliation, so on and so forth, that you literally lock in a reality. That it goes from like the quantum supposition of states from a wave down, now collapsed into a particle, meaning I'm going to have this reality. And the other, I guess the other aspect, you know, is to have those feelings of gratitude, of being loved, of loving others, of being non-judgmental. And those two, you can lock in a different reality. Does that sound like it jives for you?
Absolutely. Yeah, that example I mentioned, the legal situation where I just heard I could hear my mouth saying, don't worry about me, I'll be just fine. I believed it until I heard it took me to hear my ears hear my mouth say that. Then I realized, yeah, I do believe that. I believe her, you know. It's kind of like, because it's like she has so much faith in the cosmos. Yeah, I put all my money on that. And I could just feel that switch. I could feel, it's like a pushing, when you were talking, I love it, Bill, because like these emotions you'd mentioned, the reactionary ones like shame or guilt, that's like pushing in a little punch code and you're going to get it's like you're dialing in the frequency and you're going to open the door and there's the reality. Probably not a good one. So yeah. you don't want to be pushing in the punch code like this is a disaster. And that was the, even though I'd been practicing, you know, clearing and grounding, and I was doing pretty good, I wasn't anywhere near where I got when I realized, yeah, I'm not worried about me at all. I get it. This is going to be so amazing. I don't even know what's going to happen. And I never did find out exactly. It just sort of poof, just got a phone call. The whole thing's been decided in your favor. We're going to blow it away. It's like, really? Like, nice. So I hadn't even hired a lawyer yet. Anyway, but the point is, this is like perfect. It's like the flat tire that just went poof. So my experience is exactly that. Just staying in the highest level vibratory frequency possible. For me, that's gratitude, reverence. It's like this bliss of ecstasy, just knowing that how good can it get is the way of nature and the way of life. And really feeling that regardless what the circumstances may look like, which is a tall order. So I know what that is for these difficult cases that you alluded to earlier, Liz. So, you know, I'm aware there's some pretty rough spots out there, but it's meant for all of them. It's just meant to be that ultimate code that can open the ultimate best possible outcome. And nature is built for optimalism. You know, that is what nature is constructed for. It's designed for it to find out, to show us how good can it get. When we ask questions we want to live the answers to, that's when it's really amazing and it's good.
It seems to me that there's some sort of push to keep us from those states, meaning to be in fearful states and divided and that sort of thing. And the evidence point that I think that I always watch, you know, because you're going along the freeway here in California, and they've got these huge billboard signs, and you see the lottery, right? Everybody loves the idea of winning the lottery, and you'll see the amounts. The amounts have never been bigger. We're talking, you know, they had to make the signs into billions now. Billions, that's with a B, not millions, billions, right? Mm-hmm. And so the billion thing came out, and I was like, you know what? The reason that the amounts are getting so large is because there's so much fear that nobody can get congruent enough and happy enough and undistracted enough to win. It used to be that it was 20 million, 30, 40, 50 million or something. But people are no longer, you know, that because of all the fear and the divisiveness that they can't get into those joy states. And it's happening in mass. So anyway, I don't know. That was just one of my thoughts about it.
That's interesting. Yeah, it seems like there's... Oh, go ahead, Liz.
No. You go ahead, Cynthia.
Well, I'm just thinking it's interesting that nobody's won them, and it keeps going to, like, no winners this time. I think that's fascinating, too. But that ties in with your point, I think, Bill, what you were saying. Like, yeah. There wasn't that much coherence.
I think there's another aspect of it, too. I think once it got close to a billion, it's kind of like that person who broke the four-minute mile, and then everybody could break the four-minute mile. Uh-huh. I think once it got close to a billion, people are like, oh... A billion. And then I thought, I bet you that thing will go to a billion again and again and again. And then it did. And then it broke a billion and a half, you know? So I bet you we'll see it in not very long from now be $2 billion. I think it's just a little bit of the flip side. I think Bill and you are right, Cynthia. And I think the opposite of that is also that people are, oh, I think that's possible. Yeah. So now let's make it even more possible.
That could be. Yeah, it's that tipping point where it's like it generates interest for sure. I think that's true.
Yeah, it really, really does. So you guys, we're actually just about 4 minutes away from the end of this segment of the show. So I want to make sure everybody knows how to get the next segment of the show and where to find Cynthia. So we're going to end real soon here for the UK Health Radio Network app platform. And then the UK Health shares this episode anywhere that you like to listen to your podcasts. But there's a bonus. The shows are often extended on the other platforms like Spotify and Apple Podcasts and all of those. So you can hear the extension of this episode on all of those places, as well as on YouTube. Cogno Movement channel on YouTube. You can watch the extension of this episode. So Cynthia, I want to make sure everybody knows where they can find you next. There's a big event happening really soon, right?
That's right. Well, my website is realityshifters.com, and I have a newsletter, so people can check the newsletter, and it has all the latest news and subscribe to it there. And the event is our International Mandela Effect Conference event happening September 2nd through the 4th in Brantford, Connecticut. That's Labor Day weekend in the United States, and we still have tickets available. You can find out more at our website, which is imec.world.
What happens at an International Mandela Effect Conference?
Well, this year we've got 13 speakers and talking about everything from Bible Mandela effects to the science of the Mandela effect. Tom Campbell, the physicist, is scheduled for the agenda when we're talking about science. We have author Roger Marsh talking about reality and truth bubbles. Christopher Inatro will be talking about decoding the Mandela effect and, you know, what does it mean? I think Shane Robinson, he's another one of our board members, will be talking about how to find the meaning in these things. And Jerry Hicks, he's another one of our board members. He'll be talking about a lot of the material that he's put into a whole class that he now teaches on the Mandela effect. And then we've got Meigs, who has a YouTube channel, lots of other wonderful speakers. I think this is a big opportunity for people to come together in a community, find out lots, make friends, and really, there's nothing like being in person with a group of people that is this wonderful. It's just so special.
And you, Cynthia, are you speaking?
Yes, I'll be speaking too about the science of the Mandela effect, going into some of this material that we were talking about today in a little bit more detail.
All right, you guys, we've run up at the end of this, the time we have for this episode, but join us in the extended conversation where we're going to get a little bit weird. We're going to talk about the weirdest one of these Mandela effects or timeline shifts that we've heard about or experienced ourselves lately. So please join us on the extended episode on YouTube, a Cogno Movement channel, or anywhere you like to listen to your podcast. So for now, thank you so much, Cynthia, for being here with us. We just love it when you stop by.
My pleasure. It's been wonderful. Always a treat with you guys.
Thank you, Cynthia.
Okay. Be safe and be well. And we'll see you on the flip side, the extended conversation. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for being here with us on the New Life Perspective radio show. For more information or to find out more about the work that Bill and I do, please visit us at cognomovement.com or email us at info@cognomovement.com. See you again soon.